Okay, let's move to our first time certain.
Okay. Item 1095, request of Sally Fronsman Cecil to address council regarding Portland Grey Panthers.
Do we want to call everyone
up
at once?
Yeah, I think everybody signed up is for the Grey Panthers. Is that?
We have several of us.
Thank you.
Okay, I'll read the other two. 1096, request of Dorothy Holland to address council regarding Portland Grey Panthers. And 1097, request of Edith Gillis to address council regarding Portland Grey Panthers. 1098, request of Luis Balderas Villagrama to address council regarding Portland Grey Panthers. And 1099, request of Lou Church to address council regarding Portland Grey Panthers.
Okay. Well, thank you all for being here this morning, and we'll start with you, ma'am. And if you, all you need to do is give us your name, and you each have 3 minutes. And there's a clock and clock there in front of you. So why don't you go ahead and start? And please pull a microphone. Please pull a microphone up.
My name's Sally Fronsman C.
Can you take the microphone and and move it over there?
There we go.
Yeah, there you go.
There we go. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. My name's Sally Fronsman Cecil. I am a member of Grey Panthers of Portland. Grey Panthers is historically an intergenerational and intersectional organization, meaning that we work with a variety of people, not just elders, you might assume from the name, but with elders and young people on issues that are of interest to us all, not just in, things that you might think of as issues for elders. And I guess I feel like we're here today to hold the people of Portland through their representatives responsible to meet what we consider the social contract. That is not being held up for people, for elders at this time. I feel like people tend to think that, say, people on the streets are responsible for being there themselves, that they have chosen to be there, or that they have drug and alcohol problems or some other kind of issue that would put them there. I'm here to speak a little bit for myself, though you'll probably see me more than once and hear my story. I am fairly well educated, articulate. I'm the widow of a college professor, and yet my family is terrified that I will be homeless. They've brought me here on an emergency basis. I live in a housing insecure situation with a family member who may at some point go into nursing home or die. And when that happens, I will be homeless. My family figures they cannot rescue me any more than they have already done. Now, you'd think, a lot of people seem to think that if you're elder, that you have resources. I'm not sure exactly why this is, because we have elders on the streets. But that isn't the case. I have more income through my Social Security than most people have. However, because I have that, I am not eligible for any of the safety net. You know, I have all the expenses that somebody might have despite being in this insecure situation. I have medical expenses, thanks God, are covered by Medicare, which I support Medicare for all for that very reason. But, you know, at the same time, even having more income, since I don't qualify for things, it doesn't help me with things like my car and my insurance, which I have to have because I have to look for work. I can't live on the income I have. I have debt because I had to do an emergency move. I had to get rid of my house, which was pretty much literally falling down around me in Kansas. So I'm now here in Oregon. I don't know that I have anything more to say about that other than I think that people are not meeting the social contract across our society. They didn't build enough housing for us. They didn't anticipate it. And I think they actually determined because they didn't know about better health care that they thought we were going to die.
Thank you. Thank you, Sally. You want to go next, ma'am?
Yes, my name is Dorothy Holland, and I'm a member of Grey Panthers. And what I want to talk about, as of last time, is we have more developments with the Home Forward, and Home Forward is not coming forward to give us the right information that we need. They're saying one meeting was for renovations to our building, and they kind of said, oh, well, it's going to be this way. And then they changed their minds and said, no, it's going to be this way. We're going to have to tear up your apartments and blah, blah, blah. And you're going to be out of your apartments for 6 to 8 weeks. And you have to pack up your stuff completely. And a lot of us who've been there 20-plus years have a lot of stuff. But we'll help you do that, and then you'll have to put it in storage, and we'll pay the initial payment, but you have to pay so-and-so and so-and-so. Well, we don't have that money. I mean, that's why we're living in the housing that we're living in. So what do we do? And it's supposed to come under Home for under HUD, their Section 8 program, because it's going project-based. But there's no, in any of the meetings that we've had, there has been no HUD representative there. It's all been Home Forward and all Home Forward's policy forward. And then they came into our apartment and took chunks of our floor and chunks of our wall to test for asbestos. Now, when we asked what the testing results were, they changed the subject entirely. So we don't know if we're living with asbestos or what, you know. And this building is like over 70 years old, you know. So in that time, they did have asbestos, and they did use asbestos as insulation and walls and things. So we don't know. You know, and they won't let us. They're not coming forward, and they're not revealing things that they should reveal, not even in any of the resident meetings when we ask about it. They change the subject. So what do we do? You know, they should have some accountability to us. I mean, we pay our rent on time, you know, and everything, and some of us pay a lot of rent, you know, a big chunk of our check. And then when we get, like, a cost of living increase, like this last time I got $20 cost of living increase, and Home Forward took 12 of it. And they're not supposed to do that. They're only supposed to take one-third, not all of that. So what do we do? Okay. Who holds them accountable?
Thank you.
Thank you for bringing this to our attention. Have you tried talking with the Home Forward Board or getting a message to them?
Yes, I've tried to talk to Elise, who's supposed to be the head district manager, whatever, and she says, well, talk to your manager and let them handle it.
But
the manager's not coming forward.
They have a board of citizen volunteers who help to oversee Home Forward, so potentially contacting them, sending a letter to them
might
be helpful.
Well, I have no information on how to do that, and they won't give me that information, so I don't know how to do that. So if you guys know how to do that, I would appreciate that information, and then, yes, I would get in touch with them.
I've got your email in the communication, so I'll have my staff send
it. Well, I don't have a computer.
Oh, okay. I've got a phone number, so we'll call you.
Yeah, my phone number should be on your information, or I can give it to you if you need
it. Don't give it to me in public.
Okay. I'll just leave it.
That'd be great. Thank you. And then we'll get you the information to where to send.
Okay, I appreciate it. Thank
you. Actually, I tell you what, I've got your address, so I'll mail you that information.
Oh, great. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you. Edith, you want to go next?
Good morning. I'm Edith Gillis. And when you're around as long as I am, you begin to see patterns, and you recognize and see that we go through developmental stages. Lou Church is holding up a poster because my print shop kid lost the flash drive in the originals. So it helps to have elders who keep working with people of all ages, and across different interests and communities. And so with that teamwork across ages, you see that we have developmental stages as individuals. We have developmental stages in how we respond to trauma and loss, and in relationship, and in group dynamics, in community, and social movements. And one of the things we're seeing that when you have people who have found being a good citizen doesn't work, that the system, the official institutions are failing us, then there becomes folks who go into the next role of the reformer. When that doesn't work, they will then go... to the role of the rebel. And then they may decide after these triggering events, as in police killings or showing that there's unfair treatments and preference of some people against the laws, then there may be a lot of folks rebelling, getting angry, and they may make some actions, and then it may seem like they failed because they didn't get the results as soon as they wanted, but actually more and more of the public is awakened and is committed and is making changes and now in the role of social change agent. And we keep going through these eight stages and these four roles. If you don't want people angry, then don't do the things that anger them. And what that includes is disrespecting their person and violating their needs. So one of the things that I've noticed as I've been phone banking and canvassing, and I've been listening to folks across the continuum, everything from Tea Partiers who think that Trump is way too leftist and wimpy, and people who are thinking that Bernie is far too right. I'm with people across the continuum in all different labels and categories, and I'm hearing them speak without any prompting on my part, and I also listen to them carefully as I ask open-ended questions. What do you like about Portland, and what do you want changed? 100%, all these people, whether they know anything about my bias or whatever, 100% of them say they're unhappy with the police. They're unhappy with the mayor and the city council not policing the police and holding the police accountable to protect and serve. And 100% of them want you to reduce the budget for the police and increase it for the services that the city is required to do. When you have that, we have trust, we have cooperation and teamwork, and you're more apt to get the funding, the volunteering, and nicer treatment.
Okay. Thank you, Edith. Lou, I guess you're next.
My name is Lou Church with Gray Panthers. I want to thank Dorothy, Edie, and Sally for speaking this morning. I was hoping Luis would come from Portland State. He's student body president and a dreamer, so apparently he had other stuff to do. Student body president at PSU is a very busy and activist project at the moment with Disarm PSU as a campaign. Gray Panthers advocates currently and in the past for elders, for social justice, for what Robert Kennedy once said was the quest to seek a newer world. As someone myself who worked with Bobby Gary when she was a Gray Panthers organizer and I was a fundraiser at Interagency Food Bank, June Tenoy's old organization, Bobby Gary presented and advocated for emulating the Maggie Kuhn model, the founder of Gray Panthers, to be an activist radical advocacy group. As Gray Panthers, we look forward to seeing Joanne Hardesty join Amanda and Chloe on City Council as the first ever three-woman majority City Council in Portland history, a bit like having Dorothy Day, Bernadette Devlin, and Maxine Waters all in our City Council right here in River City. And while ballots are out, it isn't too late for our housing and police commissioner, who looks to be absent today, Ted Wheeler, to join Amanda, Chloe, Alyssa Kenny-Geyer, Michael Dembro, and the activist unions and endorse Joanne Hardesty for City Council. This fall, we feel Disarm PSU and Rent Control in Oregon are vital campaigns and badly needed. We were disappointed to see both Newt Bueller and the Portland Tribune oppose the housing bond measure on the ballot. The Tribune in Oregonian endorsed Bueller for governor, while Bueller supports M105, the anti-immigrant, anti-sanctuary ballot measure. What planet is the Tribune and Newt Bueller on? Immigrants and housing are vital components of our community. Bueller and the Tribune are flat out wrong. As the pusillanimous patriarchal propaganda from Weinstein, Cosby, Trump, and Kavanaugh persist, Gray Panthers, at least in Oregon, are happy to support Joanne Hardesty for city council, Kate Brown for governor, to support the housing bond, the clean energy fund, and campaign finance reform on our local ballots. We also oppose the alt-right, bourgeois capitalist, and crypto-fascist statewide ballot measures. Vote no on M103, 104, 105, and 106. Oregon belongs to all of us, and in our city, we believe in the dream that is Portland, not the world's ongoing nightmare that's Trumpland.
Okay, well, thank you all. Thank you, Portland Great Panthers. Thank you.